Class is in session, football scholars. Welcome back to the Student of the Game pod. I am your host, Andreas, and today we'll be dissecting the match for EPL matchup between Arsenal FC and Tottenham Hotspur, aka the North London Derby. But before I get started with this match, I have to introduce our guest today. I'm going to need a little bit of help going through this fantastic matchup. I have brought my personal friend, Rob, and Arsenal fan, Robert P. Mitchell III. Robert, how are you doing, man?
Arsenal. 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 What's going on, Andreas? How you doing?
Doing good, man. So, as you guys heard, Robert's a pretty big Gunners fan. So, Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you decided that Arsenal was going to be the team you follow?
Well, I have been playing soccer for quite some time in my life. Started when I was 5, got into it really big in the select league, and started following Thierry Henry. And he was one of my favorite players to watch, and he was playing for Arsenal when they had the O2 sponsorship. So it's been a while seeing him grow up, having other great players come in after him, like Robin Van Persie. That was always a plus. Having a lefty as myself, you know, it's always nice seeing lefties on the team. And, you know, since then, it's been, you know, kind of rough here and there. But, you know, I'm still a Gunners fan, still represent, have my hat, have my kits. So, you know, I'm not going to leave him alone.
Oh, I totally get that. I've known Robert since back in the 7th grade. And, yeah, he's been a Gunners diehard ever since. All through those 4th place finishes and Champions League mishaps, he's been through it all. But I think that this season will be a pretty exciting one for the Gunners. But we'll get to the season a little bit later. I want to get right into this game, Rob. You guys facing probably your biggest direct rivals in Tottenham Hotspur. What do you think of Spurs and that rivalry that you guys have with them?
The rivalry between them, you know, it's obviously, you know, North London, so everything's really hot up there. I'm assuming, you know, being so close together, you're always going to come across, you know, your Spurs fans, the Gunners, you know, clashing in some of the bars. You know, I can only imagine what that scene is like. And seeing, you know, these teams clash against each other, especially, you know, being at home this year at the Emirates, was definitely a plus for us. You know, just them going at it. You know, it's always fun to see good teams go at it and, you know, see good results. But, you know, this weekend, you know, could have been better. But, hey, you know, it's always a clash, and that's always good to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let's kind of get into the match between Arsenal and Tottenham. And, Rob, why don't you start us off by giving us the Arsenal lineup?
All right. So I was very excited to see during the week, you know, you had Emery being questioned about who he was going to start at the top, getting that pressure of, you know, the top three, you know, most expensive players, you know, Arsenal has put in, you know, in their lineup in the history of, you know, them being a squad. And that was pretty cool to see. And he actually made it happen. He had those three starting people at the very top, you know, Lacazette, you know, the most paid Pepe. And then you have Aubameyang, you know, lean that top three. I was kind of surprised he was doing that right off the bat. But I liked it at first. And then having, I think it was Zaka and I forget who the other center midfielder was.
Yeah, you had Torreira and Guendouzi with Zaka in midfield.
Yeah, see, I would have put Cabello instead of that.
Yeah, Spanish loney, Danny Ceballos. That is definitely one name that I thought was missing from this lineup. But, you know, we don't get paid the $1 million to make these sort of decisions, and we'll get to it. I really still think that Ceballos could have had a bigger impact, but on the opposite end for Spurs, they went with their typical 4-2-3-1 of this season. Heung-min Son back from suspension. You had Harry Kane up top, Christian Eriksen playing the number 10 role. You know, the usual suspects, except that Pochettino went with Davinson Sanchez at right back rather than putting Kyle Walker-Peters there or even Serge Aurier. I think that was kind of a weird decision from the manager not to have a natural right back. When you mentioned it yourself, you're going into a hostile environment at the Emirates North London Derby. And I mean, game starts and Arsenal is going at Davinson Sanchez right from the start, and it looks like he is pretty rattled. They're extremely focused down that left side. And in the first 10 minutes, I honestly think that Arsenal was the stronger of the two sides, and their possessing and their attack was much more formidable than Spurs. So what did you think of those first 10 minutes?
Yeah, definitely see the, you know, from the get-go, you having the Gunners, you know, having their Arsenal chance. It was all nice seeing that. You know, the hype was seeing red in the crowd. And then from the first minute, you know, you have Pepe already getting, you know, one shot off. You know, it wasn't on target. It was a little wide. I mean, more wide than you would think. But, you know, having that momentum in the first minute, didn't even touch the first minute. And then in the fifth minute, you know, you have another strike on goal right outside the box. I think it was from Niles. It was a nice rip, low, well hit. But then, you know, you have Harry Kane, the diver, blocking that one. So, you know, that was harsh to see. But, you know, there's the first 5 minutes of it. You know, the crowd was getting into it. That was good to see. I was definitely getting into it. I had my friends over. We were out in Dallas. And they don't even watch soccer. And they were, like, already pumped up within the first 5 minutes. So that was really cool to see. And then, you know, going into the next 5 minutes, it went downhill a little bit.
A little bit against the run of play in the 10th minute, you had kind of a sequence of mistakes off of a Tottenham clearance, it felt like. Or no, it wasn't. Yeah, a Tottenham clearance where both Xhaka and Socrates go up for a header. They bump into each other. The ball lands right on, I believe it was Heung-Min Song's lap. He turns David Luiz, sprints up to your defense. Lays it off, I believe, to Lamella, takes a shot, and Bernd Leno has a freaking, I don't know, nightmare moment and slaps the ball straight into Eriksen's path. And again, Socrates late to react to catch up to Eriksen, and boom, 10 minutes in, the team that was kind of kicking ass the whole time in Arsenal is down 1-0.
Yeah, seeing that momentum being shot down like that, you know, it always takes that one chance, and that's all you need is just one chance. Like, even though if it's that simple, you know, the goal doesn't need to look pretty. And, you know, that's what they did. That having those experienced players in the middle like that and just, like, seeing that live would just, like, kill me. And then seeing the replay, like, just basically, you know, just put me under the freaking ground and, like, was like, what the hell? Like, you have these two experienced players. You know, I was super excited for David Luiz to join the squad this year. And, you know, he hasn't really showed us, you know, his experience and value, you know, that he can actually show for us. And, you know, seeing him step up like that, like, it was too easy. Like, you could have put blindfolds on Son and he could have turned David Luiz, you know, the same way. It was way too easy. And
that
then
was
one of his
trademark brain fart moments that, you know, have turned him into a bit of a meme sometimes in world football. And, you know, you mentioned that he has all the potential, but on the flip side, you can always get one of those moments from David Luiz in these kind of matchups where he could be having a fantastic game and then boom, you know, he does something stupid, steps out of line. And like you said, Son takes one touch and David Luiz is completely caught out of position.
Yeah, and it leaves the whole, you know, then you have your wingers on the outside, the back defenders, trying to suck in, and it's just too wide open. So, I mean, that right there, like, wouldn't say it, like, killed the whole vibe because it was so early, but it definitely ruined my vibe in that moment. But
And I think, like you said, that vibe was gone for the Arsenal fans as well. I think they got a little bit quiet. The team wasn't able to connect much for the next like 10 minutes or so, because I feel that play right there gave Heung-Min Son just loads of confidence. And he was the man for about the next 10 minutes. I think that in those 10 minutes, he had a play where he kind of cut inside and was probably inches from finishing a curler in the back post, where he dribbled from the left side, again, past Socrates, took that shot from outside the box. But, yeah, it took Arsenal a while to get back in the game. Well, what did you make of that?
Of Socrates?
Just the fact that they just felt so deflated. It, it, I mean, that the rest of the half bar, well, let's not even get to the rest of the half, but yeah, those just those next 10 minutes after that strong start, I felt like Arsenal fell asleep a bit.
Yeah, also one thing, you know, that I did want to point out on that, like, next 10 minutes, like, even though Leno, like, you know, didn't make that, you know, somewhat of an easy save, like, in the 17th minute, I think it was Son, he made a crazy rip, nice curling shot from outside the box, and then Leno made a great save, you know, it, you know, that probably gave him some confidence for more in the game, you know, I think from that point, you know, 7 minutes later gave definitely his defense and himself, you know, some more confidence in that point. But yes, they were definitely flat-footed. They were kind of confused, it seemed like, here and there. And then it, like, basically, like, 15 minutes of just sloppy football back and forth.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. I know that there was the one chance that Arsenal had where a cross came into the back post of Pepe. And somehow it was one of those plays where you're like, oh, this is going to go in. But Danny Rose got his face in front of it. Like, how the hell did he manage to do that? Like, it just seemed like an impossible stop. I was shocked.
Yeah, I thought he was going to play it back across. I forgot who was in the center. But, no, Pepe was, you know, in the right there. He was definitely in the right spot. But, yeah, hats off to that save. That to the fact that he turned around and it still hit him in the forehead was, like, wow.
Yeah, no, Danny Rose definitely right place, right time. But things, like you said, we're kind of going back and forward. Definitely Spurs seem to have a little bit more control of the game. But then you got 40th minute, balls played in the box. And, you know, it's a congested kind of area, tons of Arsenal players, tons of Spurs players. And Granit Xhaka just slides in late on Harry Kane.
Yeah, yeah. Penalty. Hold on. I want to get off on that part because yeah. Before that, when Lacazette gave up that free kick, I think it started from that lousy free kick from behind. It was so silly. In the 36th minute, which led up to that free kick. And then it was, I think it was Eriksen who took the free kick. It was a great shot on goal, pretty far out. And then Leno saves it, pushes it wide. And then one of my favorite players that I've been seeing from Arsenal, Guendouzi.
Yep.
He's I love that guy. He's phenomenal. But then, you know, as good as he is, you know, he made a little error and didn't clear it out as far as he probably could have. And then Spurs won that back, and then it led to that silly foul that you were talking about. And it's not just, you know, like Xhaka, like, who did it, you know. It's like Xhaka is the captain, you know. You have to be more aware, you know, like, and responsible, even though, you know, like, you're not just the player, obviously. You know, you're leading a squad as well. And seeing that, you know, that's pathetic. Like,
yeah, I thought that was pretty, like you said, you were talking about lazy. I think it was just a dumb decision altogether. There were so many bodies in the box. Yes, Harry Kane is extremely dangerous, but in a game that was 1-0, you're trying to get the momentum back. That's got to be deflating. You know, a penalty kick going into the 40th minute to give Spurs a chance to double their lead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like another great point, doubling the lead. That's exactly what happened last week against Liverpool with David Luiz's silly penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that you really can't afford. And obviously, you know, it'll bite you in the ass.
Yeah. And like we said, penalties given. And who else than Harry Kane himself to step up, slots the penalty to the left, and with that goal, Harry Kane goes 10 for 10 in the North London Derby. So he's played in Arsenal 10 times and has scored in all 10 matches, which is insane for a player to do that. You know, I thought Drogba, as a Chelsea fan, I thought Drogba had a fantastic scoring record in Arsenal, but Harry Kane just loves to show up for a North London Derby. It's incredible the kind of performances he has against you guys.
Yeah, as much as, you know, it's a derby, North London derby. It's great, but, you know, yeah, hats off to that guy. I'll stay humble about that. Just wish he wouldn't dive so much.
Yeah, I mean, and that dive came at a price in the second half. The one you're talking about didn't get the call he wanted, and any other referee would most likely book him for that simulation. But We'll jump to the 42nd minute where Arsenal finally registers their first shot on target. And it seems like Arsenal's really pushing at this point for at least a goal going into halftime.
Yeah, well, I did not know that was their first shot on target.
Yeah, it was crazy to think about. And, you know, like you said, it was very lousy and very just back and forth for most of the half. But, yeah, it took them 42 minutes to finally force a save out of Yuri.
Yeah, now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense, Andreas. I mean, eight for 26 shots on target the whole game. So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
And then finally, we have a run of play going again right before the half, 45th minute. Arsenal calls for a handball. All the players, and me watching from home as well, I'm watching this. I'm like, oh, where's the penalty call? Like, that's huge. That could have been the goal. And before I'm done making that statement, a moment of brilliance from Lacazette, because I honestly don't know how else to describe what he did. Similar situation to Harry Kane's goal. Very tight space in the box. He somehow controls a pass from the left side, then takes this really nice touch to set up his left foot. And before you even blink an eye, the ball's in the back of the net. 2-1 to Tottenham. But Lacazette with a fantastic goal.
Yes, that was definitely game-changing moment. Even if that, you know, it came that late, that was the second shot on goal, I'm guessing. Was massive. I mean, that when I saw Pepe with the ball, I was kind of getting excited. I didn't know what he was going to do with it because he was, like, kind of tiptoeing around. And then he made that little kind of outside-the-boot pass. And then that next two touches and the freaking ripper, dude. That was, you know, you can't do anything right there except for power. And that's what he did. And, you know. He wasn't fazed at all. Didn't even blink in that celebration.
Yeah, I mean, that was the perfect way to end the half. I remember watching and thinking, you know, something Arsenal needs a goal here, and I just felt like it was coming. And who better to do it than Lacazette, who's been just so clinical for Arsenal in his time there. But halftime comes along, 2-1. What were your thoughts? I mean, I thought that was pretty much all Spurs after the 10 minutes, and then, you know, one moment of brilliance gives Arsenal kind of a way to fight back into this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said earlier, it's that one opportunity, that one chance that really, like, can switch your team around. And going into the half, you can see it on the players' faces, you know. Spurs players' heads were down, Arsenal's fans were cheering them on, you know, like, Arsenal was going in there feeling good, and that's what you like to see. Coming out of the gate, It came out phenomenal, you know. It couldn't have started again any better in the second half.
Yeah, and one thing that I wanted to point out, and going into this game, I really thought, you mentioned that front three, I really thought that Arsenal was going to be the team that would just focus on counterattacking Spurs. But one thing that I noticed was that it was Spurs who was counterattacking Arsenal, and I felt that Arsenal had more of the ball and the was trying to do that slow buildup. Is that something that you expected, or were you expecting it more to be get the ball to that front three and let them kind of just go at the defense as quickly as possible?
Most times I noticed it seemed like we weren't even using, you know, the middle three at all. It seemed like we were just passing over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I like it. I want to see Ozil in that kind of formation to see how he would play out with that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, glad he's back. It's his first game back, even though he didn't play today or on right. Sunday. But, you know, I really didn't see too much slow play with, you know, that kind of formation. It's kind of like do or die, basically.
Right. And yeah, you know, you mentioned the lack of a creative player in midfield. And I know that kind of angered a lot of fans. The fact that it felt like Arsenal was going to park the bus just looking at that lineup. But I felt like the midfield three did a decent job of, you know, actually breaking through the lines. Torreira is a freaking little bull of a player. But let's kind of get into the second half. And yeah, the energy that was brought into the squad from Lacazette's goal was evident. And I thought that, again, right off the gates, it was all Arsenal. And that they were going to get that equalizer. How did you feel coming into the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like the first half. I mean, energy was high. Everyone's up on their feet. You know, the first, you know, three great chances came early for Arsenal in the second half, like the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was nice seeing that buildup again. And then you get back to where, you know, of course, Kane gets, you know, a shot off and it like hits the post right after their little, their boost. And that was a rip. That ball was curling, like the inside curl. It was, oh man, I was so scared. The goalie didn't even move. Like, I was seriously like, oh my gosh. And then David Luiz, I thought he was just going to like do something stupid with it. Like, the ball came off the post and hit his leg. I was like, oh my gosh, if that goes in the damn goal, like, because they were all they were all waving offsides. I was like, yo, play the ball, like, quit.
Yeah. No, that was definitely crazy. In the angle the camera had, you know, for us watching on TV, it just bounced straight at David Luiz, and I was trying to figure out how the hell did that happen. And finally, the replay showed it. And yeah, David Luiz was kind of, when a baseball pitcher, a ball gets hit right back to them and they somehow move out of the way, he was able to react quickly enough to push that ball away from goal, because it could have easily, like you said, hit him and gone straight right back towards the net. So extremely good heads up play. Lucky for Arsenal for that not to go in, because I think at that point, if a third goal goes in, that's the real deal breaker. Not the penalty, but a second Harry Kane goal that would have deflated the side. But like you said, it was all Arsenal still. We after that chance, all Arsenal. And, you know, even though they were pushing and they were kind of testing our Tottenham, I really still felt that something was missing. And around the 56th minute, I'm like, you know, they really need to bring in Danny Ceballos. He is that creative, like, plug to this team. And in his first match, he had two assists. I was like, he will find that extra pass or bring that extra element to just finally get that breakthrough. Like, it just seemed like whatever Arsenal was trying at this point just wasn't enough. Like, I think at this point, Guendouzi had that shot that Yuri stopped low. And I was like, dude, what else do they need to do?
Yes, that was a phenomenal save by the Spurs goalkeeper off that Guendouzi shot. But yes, yeah, Ceballos, I definitely wanted to see him come on at the very beginning of the second half. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know who he was going to take off or what Emery was thinking at that point.
Yeah.
So I really didn't know, like, in that situation or what kind of style he wanted to go with in the second half compared to the first.
Yeah, no, and again, I told you, I thought that he kind of went the safe approach to almost to a detriment by not playing him. And, I mean, he comes on in the 63rd minute, and I think my thought got validated. I thought Ceballos had more than an immediate impact. Like, I thought he was exactly what they were needing. I think within his first two, three touches, he earned two fouls and then had an absolute rip of a knuckleball that, you know, on any other day beats Jory from like 25 yards out.
Yeah, that was a 35 yard out shot, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was a rip. I remember I was getting a beer and I walked from the refrigerator and I look up and I see that thing. Right when he ripped it, I thought it was going in. I was so pumped. And then they made the save over the top. But I mean, right when he came on, that was good. I was excited to see him on. He did take out Lacazette, right? Is that who?
So that's what I was gonna say next. So he comes in for Torreira to add to the midfield. But yeah, just a couple minutes later, Lacazette kind of waves to the sideline, and it looks like he picks up a knock. And you know, at this point, I'm like, damn, you know, Arsenal's. I thought Lacazette was the best player in the second half up to this point, and yeah, unfortunately, you have to bring in Mkhitaryan late. You push Aubameyang to the middle. And my first thought was like, you've got to be kidding me. Arsenal has been doing everything right. And now you, right when you bring in Ceballos and things are going well, you have to take Lacazette out of the equation, who has been such a good kind of quarterback in terms of the attack and moving the ball and making sure that Pepe and Aubameyang get some moves. I felt that was a tough spot. Like, in the moment when you saw that sub, like, what were you thinking?
For Lacazette, I heard he got kind of an injury or something like that. And then he got booked right before that. So, I mean, I didn't know if Emery just wanted to play it safe, but I think it worked out because I don't know the full details on what Lacazette was going through at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from that, though, I think, you know, I think actually, I mean, Mkhitaryan, he could have done way better throughout the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, at the time of recording, so being now the 4th of September, Mkhitaryan is now a Roma player. So Arsenal fans won't have to. Arsenal fans won't have to worry about him. I saw that
today on Facebook.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, you know, you talk about him coming on, and I think a lot of people were just uninspired by the fact that Emery went with him. And, you know, in the bench you had your guy Mesut Ozil. You mentioned him. You had that young forward Reece Nelson, and hell, you even had Joe Willock from midfield, a youngster that, you know, has like an actual potential to build up from his preseason and such. So yeah, Mkhitaryan, who's not gotten himself any favors from Arsenal fans, that was his last chance to kind of just wave goodbye in a good light, and he kind of disappointed. But luckily for you guys, Matteo Guendouzi said, "We are not losing to Spurs," and he decided to take over. I swear, from the moment that Lacazette came out, Matteo Guendouzi said, "I got this." And that guy was winning every tackle. He was dribbling up the middle. And sure enough, he plays this fantastic curling pass that's kind of aiming towards the 6-yard box. Like, it's about to drop right there. And you think to yourself, man, that is one of the weakest shots I've ever seen, until you realize that he was looking for Lacazette the whole time. Or not Lacazette, bad.
Aubameyang. Yeah.
And Aubameyang just so cleverly uses the bottom of his boot to just deflect the ball enough to where Lloris can't even move. And the ball's in the back of the net. 2-2 in the 71st minute. We're draw again. New game.
Yeah, and that's why Guendouzi is one of my favorites, because he's, you know, resilient. He doesn't stop. He doesn't quit. You know, that's why I like him a lot when this Arsenal side. And that pass was phenomenal. Splitting those two defenders like that, that's like Tom Brady throwing it between two corners, like in the corner of the end zone for the Super Bowl pass. It was phenomenal. That touch was great. Just a little deflection is all you need in that situation, being that close to the goalie. And, you know, that pumped up. And after that goal, hearing that crowd roar, you know, gave me goosebumps.
Dude, yeah, definitely. I thought when Ceballos came on, that's a good point. The crowd was up for it. Like, I had to turn down the volume. It was so loud. Like, you could tell that stadium must have been rumbling. Like, when they just got a whiff of the fact that they could tie this game and then eventually win it, like, props to the Arsenal fans for making that a very hostile atmosphere.
Yeah, the fans got to stay consistent just as much as the players. So, I mean, I'm glad they did more than enough to keep that spirit up, and, you know, that energy was high throughout the rest of the game for sure.
Yeah, that was nuts. And after that, again, after the goal, the momentum has been in Arsenal's side, but now more than ever, I thought, holy shit, Arsenal's going to win this game. Like, at this point, I literally was like, the goal is going to come. I just feel it. Spurs haven't done absolutely anything at this point in the second half. And, you know, Arsenal keeps coming. 78th minute, you have this buildup coming up the left side. And live, you're thinking, holy cow, what a buildup. You got Kolasinac coming to the left, puts a cross in, and then boom, ball's back in the net. But, you know, drama has been... And I feel like at an all-time high this season. You know, we had the Spurs City game where VAR took the goal away. And sure enough, the referee lets the play go through just because he knows he has VAR. But Kolasinac was about a step or two offside. What were you going through at this point when you're thinking, we're up 3-2, and then boom, the goal's disallowed?
So the funny part is, I was, like I said earlier, I was out in Dallas on vacation with some friends, and when I saw that buildup coming, I knew that it was going to go in the back of the net. Like, everything seemed so level, even great runs, great Arsenal play. And then you see that go in, and I literally was running around this condo like a freaking like a maniac. You know, I was like screaming, and then they're like, VAR review. And I'm just like, oh, great. Had this VAR backup. But hey, I mean, that virtual assistant referee stuff, you know, it can hurt you or it can help you. And, you know, this time it hurt. I mean, at least it wasn't like a deciding tie game goal compared to going up a goal.
Yeah, you know? I get that. And you're right. Like, I think that right now, most people make a big fuss about VAR when it's against their team. But at the end of the day, they kind of did something different this match while we were watching. They actually were showing us what the referees were doing, and they drew up the lines on the screen. And I think that was really good of them to show, at least us watching from, you know, with your friends at the condo, myself watching here at home, those people that got together with supporters clubs at bars. You know, we got the peace of mind that it was actually offside. The lines were drawn. He was definitely ahead of Spurs' back line. So I think you have a little bit more of a moment of peace knowing that, okay, you know, it was actually offside. But after this, we got about 10 minutes left in the match. And
just back to that VAR. It was really cool to see how they actually did line it up with his shoulder and not like, I didn't, you know, it's educational purposes, you know, it's for the youth as well, you know, like youth referees, all that stuff, to even just kind of know it's like, all right, that's how it's supposed to be played. And I think that referee honestly called it offsides like live. I don't think he waited, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
which is a really close call, but he was obviously right, which amazes me. Hats off to him, but
I mean, yeah, I think the procedure going into the season is that you can revert a decision if you wait to whistle it late. So if he did call it early, luckily maybe he did get it right. But yeah, I think what we'll be seeing a lot this season is the goal, the celebration, and then a little bit of disappointment. But that's just because if you call the offside ahead of the shot and then it wasn't offside, that's just going to cause so much more uproar. So again, luckily it was one of those decisions where it was already right, like you said, and nothing had to be changed or there shouldn't be any cause for concern. But yeah, just quickly back to the game, last 10 minutes of the game, I think that VAR scare woke Tottenham up, because those last 10 minutes, I felt like a goal could have come from either side.
Yeah, I was mainly surprised that they took Son off. I think they substituted Son off right after that VAR thing. So that was a plus.
Let's see. They kind of did. Yeah, the minute after, we have Giovanni Lo Celso coming on. And I think, honestly, that's when I knew that Pochettino was scared, because Lo Celso plays as a center mid. So even though he was technically in a higher position up the field, I think that Pochettino is like, you know what? We're the away team. Getting a point here at the Emirates is a good result for us. And I think that he was just trying to just edge out a result, because, like I said, that second half was ruthless from Arsenal. And yeah, like I guess that something, like I said, something switched, because up until this point, I had totally forgotten that Christian Eriksen was on the pitch. For a solid 35 out of 45 minutes, I totally forgot his existence. I thought he might have been off to try to complete a move to Madrid or whatever it is. But yeah, he was invisible, and props to Arsenal for that. And they're, like I said, I thought Guendouzi and at that point Torreira had done a good job in midfield to kind of neglect Eriksen's creativity. But yeah, at the very end of the game, it was just kind of back and forth. Extremely exciting stuff, the kind of thing that you live for. Lots of screaming from the fans, just lots of kind of moments that made you lose your breath, like, oh, or holy, oh my God, okay, breathe easy, the ball's cleared. And that's kind of what you live for with these derbies.
Yeah, palms are sweating. Yeah, you need to turn the fan on high for sure. Definitely intense, and that's what I love about these derbies, man. Like, these, especially being the first one this year, like, it's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a first one, for first time that Arsenal faces a direct kind of top four contender. It was now, actually, I take that back, second time, but, you know, it was a bad showing against Liverpool. I think that Tottenham is, you know, City and Liverpool are in a league of their own. So let's say, like, Tottenham is the first kind of direct rival for those other two spots for Champions League qualification. And to be completely honest with you, I thought Arsenal did a lot better than I expected. Going into this match, you have Spurs, who for the most part have had that same core of players playing together under Pochettino for two seasons now, for the most part. And Arsenal, yes, they added David Luiz and you know, they also added Pepe, but these guys are new to the Premier League. I honestly thought Arsenal was the better team. I thought that they deserved the 3 points. But coming in as an Arsenal fan, like you said, you've gone through it all. You've seen the best, you've seen the bad moments. Like, how would you rate this performance against Spurs?
I'd say they pass. I'll give them a 7. So, give them a 7 out of 10. Just because, you know, I'd take off 1 point from the first half on stupidity on the first goal. It almost seemed like it was 3, like, goal-leading errors in one play that happened in that one. So that was disappointing. I'll take off a point for that. The lack of, you know, possession through the midfield to the attacking didn't seem as high as I wanted to see that as well for this formation. I know you have those top three with, you know, that attacking experience and when it gets a goal. But, you know, you can't really do that in the Premier League. And then just, you know, lack of composure, you know, in the attacking third. They had so many chances, you know, just to get a shot on target. You know, Pepe had a couple that he could have easily gotten on target, even though I think he played pretty well for this game. It's just those little details, you know, that can always just bite you in the butt. And, you know, and you get this result that you ended up with this weekend. You know, it could have been 3 points, but you got the one. At least it wasn't 0, though. So, yeah. Still happy for it.
No, you make a good point. I think I definitely let myself be a victim of the moment with that second half. It definitely glossed, you know, those mistakes you mentioned from the first half. I think defense will continue to be a slight issue for Arsenal.
That's for sure. Yeah. We need to fix that.
Luckily for them, you know, Hector Bellerin will eventually make it back into this starting 11.
That's exactly what I was going to say, dude.
Yeah, you got Kieran Tierney that you guys just signed to be the starting left back from Celtic, who is, I honestly am beyond jealous of that signing. I think he is a fantastic player. He can also do a job at center back. He's just flexible. He can go up for you. He can be defensively solid. He is recovering from injuries still, so it's only a matter of time for him to make his debut. Yes, David Luiz hasn't had his greatest games, and you know, as a Chelsea fan, I've known him for a while. If he gets comfortable in the setup, you guys have a pretty good player who can pin these pitch like perfect long balls for that attacking three. We'll leave you guys salivating. So
yeah, I call them money balls.
Yeah, as they are, man. David Luiz, I think last season was, as a center back actually, was second in the Premier League for completed through balls. And again, he was playing center back. So he was ahead of players like De Bruyne, David Silva, Pogba. For such a creative number coming all the way from center back, that is dangerous. And with the amount of speed that Arsenal has in the wings, I could see that being extremely important for them. But going back to the match, who do you think was your man of the match for this 2-2 draw?
Man of the match, I'd have to go with my boy Guendouzi. Even though he flipped up here and there, you know, in that second half, I really think he showed, you know, that he is capable of redeeming himself and making it happen. And then also, it was the first time I actually saw Pepe play. I saw a couple of his highlights. I love that he's a left footer as well. He's got quick touches. he's got nice tight touches. Reminds me kind of like Messi. People are gonna hate on that I related that to him, but you know. Hey, I don't care. I'm loving the addition to our team, and you know, it's exciting because, like you said, once these players, you know, get comfortable and create that chemistry, it's going to be a dangerous Arsenal side. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, and I want to just kind of echo your shout for man of the match. I think Matteo Guendouzi definitely has to be the man of the match. I think officially it went to Aubameyang for the equalizer, but just to run through his stats real quick, Guendouzi finished with 83% pass accuracy, three tackles won, two interceptions, one assist, and the one thing I mentioned about the second half, seven ball recoveries. I mean, it was a nearly perfect performance on a macroscopic view for a center, a box-to-box center mid. He did it on both ends. And the fact that he's only recently turned 20 years old is incredible. I remember last season when he was still 19, thinking like, why the hell did Arsenal get this guy? And honestly, why is he getting so many minutes ahead of other experienced players? And yeah, I mean, he showed what he could potentially be doing. If he can find some consistency, Arsenal have a pretty nice gem in midfield there under Guendouzi. But now I want to move away from this game. You know, 2-2, draw is done. Looking at the Premier League table after four matches, I mean, it's a little weird. You know, you got your usual suspects in Liverpool and Man City, 1 and 2 respectively. A little surprise there, third place. You got Leicester City with 8 points. And then a group of four teams, all with 7 points, and that includes Arsenal. So through goal differential, Arsenal is actually in fifth with 7 points. So 2 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss. I mean, Robert, at this point, Arsenal isn't in the Champions League right now. You know, they're drawn to the Europa League again, so they'll be playing Thursday nights against lesser competition. What do you think would be a realistic goal for them during the season? And then what do you think would be kind of a perfect case scenario for Arsenal in this 2019-2020 season?
So, a realistic goal? Is that what you said?
Yeah, let's start realistic, and then I want you to give me, after that, your kind of perfect case for Arsenal. And by perfect, I don't mean saying they're going to win the Premier League, because I think you and I can both agree that nobody's winning this league outside of Liverpool or Man City.
Yeah, Man City and Liverpool, man, they are just, it's insane the way they're playing football right now. It's really nice to see, like, some quality football, even though it's not your team. But realistically for Arsenal, I see them not only getting top four, but, you know, third place. They're starting off strong, and I think they're only going to get stronger as long as, you know, they take care of themselves during the game. They stay healthy, get the people who are injured healthy, keep them healthy. Getting third place, obviously, I think they have a really good chance in the Europa League, just as they did last year, even though they got slammed by some blue team.
Yeah, my boys in blue.
Yeah, we'll be back in December, bro. we'll do that one next. But yeah, That's my realistic one. Yeah, third place, I'm calling it. And then I think one of the top three strikers, Aubameyang, Lacazette, or Pepe, are going to be in the runnings for the gold boot. So okay. That's realistic right there. I'm definitely not getting a gold glove this year. but no, I think that's going to be a realistic thing that I could actually see happen.
Yeah, I think that Arsenal is definitely in the mix for that top four. Right now, I think their squad's just a little thin due to injury. But again, most of those guys are supposed to be coming back in full fitness. I worry a little bit about your defense. I'm not going to lie. I still think that some goals will leak. Like you said, the golden glove is not something Leno is going to be getting this season for sure. But that attack is incredible. And Pepe was one of the leading scorers in Ligue 1 in France. You have Lacazette and Aubameyang, who already have a fantastic partnership. The addition of Danny Ceballos on loan from Real Madrid is huge for that front three. He's just going to be feeding them these, you know, perfect balls. Like I said, David Luiz will even do that to catch the opposition off guard from deep. I don't know if third. I think that Arsenal can sneak into the top four if they get a run of games together. I think that realistically, the Europa League should be their big target. I think a European trophy will do wonders to this side, especially because they haven't won something. Actually, I don't think they've ever won a European trophy, if I'm not mistaken. I think that Chelsea is still the only team in London with a European trophy. Yes, that is my humble brag that I am plugging into this. But yeah, I think that the Europa League should definitely be a big focus. Hopefully the hunt for the Europa League doesn't kind of affect their league campaign too much. But I mean, if they win the Europa League, no matter where they fall on the table, they'll go to Champions League. And I think that while I think the trophy is important, I think that Arsenal going back to the Champions League is even more important. So if you miss out on the Europa League but still get top four, I still think that would be a massively successful season. And yeah, I mean, you have a young crop of players. If they can mesh, it's going to be a good one for them. Spurs on the other end have been a very disappointing side for me. I think they've gotten extremely lucky. I think that week one, I think they ended up beating West Ham 3-1, and they didn't even look like a team that could do that. Then, you know, the 2-2 against Man City is one of those frustrating FIFA matches where you're dominating your friend and you have 30 shots and they had 2 shots. And of course, they scored their 2 and you only scored 2 of your 32. So far, I've been extremely unimpressed with them. I also don't think that their squad is very deep. So yeah, I mean, the battle for top four is as open as it can get. I think that Tottenham and Arsenal are a bit ahead of Chelsea and United. So yeah, I think you Arsenal fans are going to have a very, very up and down but fun season. More up than down. I think Unai Emery has started something good there for you Gunners fans. And
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, you mentioned December, of course, Rob. I would love to have you back on the podcast. I hope that you enjoyed this experience. I know you hadn't done this before.
No, yeah, very exciting. Good to talk about soccer. Some good people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we spend so much time texting. Why not do it and see what other people think and let them join the conversation? So, again, guys, football scholars, go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @SOG_footypod. That's FOOTIE footy. Leave us your comments. Leave us your thoughts on this Arsenal versus Spurs match. Do you think that, you know, we were too easy on Arsenal? Did they deserve a lower score out of 10? Do you think that they should have actually won this game? Do you think they'll finish top four? Who will be the top scorer? Who will be the surprise? Let us know all these things. We want to obviously speak with you guys as much as possible on the social platforms. Rob, thank you so much again for coming on. Like I said,
yeah, thank you.
Any chance I can get to get you back on here, I will for sure take. And if Arsenal makes it as a highlight during our weekend wrap-up series, I'll for sure try to get you to send me your quick 2 to 5 minute review on the match, because obviously an Arsenal fan will give me a better take than a Chelsea fan like myself, who's going to be very biased. So,
yep.
Can't wait to have you back on, man. Again, thank you for coming on. On another note, Football Scholars, the weekend wrap-up second episode was supposed to go live on Tuesday, September 4th, but unfortunately the file was corrupted, so I will be re-recording that and posting that later this week. We do have international break coming up, which is extremely sad, but at least it is for actual European Cup qualification for certain teams and certain countries, so some of the games should be worthwhile watching. Hope that your favorite teams don't suffer any major injuries. I'm crossing my fingers that Chelsea don't add to their very big list of injuries, but as always, thank you all for listening. Give us a follow. Give us your thoughts. And stay tuned for more Student of the Game pod.